headlines this hour. Following a coup in Niger by a group named the Supreme Council for Restoration of Democracy, the country's constitution is suspended. Dubai says it is most likely that the recent assassination of a Hamas official was carried out by Israel's spy agency. And the UN says Israeli settlements are illegal and its continued settlement activity is against Israel's obligations. It is 1 a.m. in Niamey, Niger, and 3:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Welcome to this edition of Press TV's World News. Well, coup leaders in Niger have suspended the constitution and dissolved all institutions after they ousted President Mamadou Tandja.
Supreme pour la restauration de la démocratie.
The Supreme Council for the Restoration of Democracy, for which I am spokesman, has decided to suspend the constitution of the Sixth Republic and dissolve all its institutions.
Well, the group, which calls itself the Supreme Council for Restoration of Democracy, announced the measures on state radio. It has also shut the country's borders and imposed a curfew. Soldiers captured Tandja and his ministers after a cabinet meeting. It is not immediately known where they are being held. Three soldiers have died and at least 10 others have been injured during a heavy gun battle. Meanwhile, the African Union has voiced its concern, condemning the latest violence. Well, for more on the Niger coup, we're joined by Larry Freeman, who is with the Africa Desk at the Executive Intelligence Review, who is joining us on the line from Washington. Mr. Freeman, thank you very much for taking your time out to speak to us here at Press TV. Now, how does the difference in tribal affinities affect politics in Niger? Now, the president is a Fulani, while all previous presidents were Hausa. How much does Fulani's foray into leadership play into this coup?
Well, I'm not sure there's going to be that much. The Fulani and the Hausa are somewhat close to each other. I think the larger question you're looking at in Niger, as you're looking at a number of cases throughout Africa right now, is this question of natural resources and who's going to have the control of the natural resources. Niger right now is the world's second biggest source of uranium. And over the last couple of years, China has made some very significant deals with Niger on oil and also on uranium. And what you're seeing is that this government that was just overthrown was functioning in a somewhat stable regime for a number of years. They extended the term of the president, and then therefore you get some people maybe in the West who don't like the Asians moving into the resources in Africa, and they say, no, this violates democracy, he shouldn't have a third term, and you find a coup is taking place. And there's a lot of problems. I mean, you had a coup in Guinea and then a counter-coup. You have a very unstable situation in Kenya right now. Nigeria, which is right to the south of Niger, is right now in a state of complete limbo, and no one knows what's going to happen, including the possibility of a military coup. So the question is, why are we having all these coups at this time, and what's behind them?
Now, sir, are the soldiers then not justified in wanting Tandja to remain president for a third term? I mean, what of the people on the streets? How will they most likely feel?
Well, you know, a lot of what's done in certain African countries is done by the elites from the top down. Now, I'm not saying that Tandja was a good ruler. What I'm saying is that there are certain regimes that have kept countries somewhat stable, and then all of a sudden you see they use the word democracy. He can't have a third term, and then all of a sudden he's overthrown. But there's never any real democracy that replaces it, because most of these people are dirt poor. Most of Niger is completely underdeveloped, as in most of sub-Saharan Africa. So unless we get a different geometry coming from the West, which links up with China and Russia and India for economic development, for infrastructure development, for railroad investment, unless this kind of policy is put forth, these countries are constantly susceptible to these kinds of coups and counter-coups.
Just so I could pick up on something you said, Niger does have an astounding 70% illiteracy rate and has been battered by drought and desertification. Now, did the things get better under Tanja? And if not, are they set to get better under a new constitution and maybe a new president?
No, I don't think they were particularly good. I said they were stable. And I think they're going to get worse because, look, the overall economic financial system globally is in a state of complete collapse. And therefore, there's no upturn in the economy. And in Africa, there never was any real growth in the physical economy. Most of the people in most of these countries live in the way you just described. In Nigeria, you have over 100 million people living $1 to $2 a day. So I don't think things are going to get better until we get a different policy. I think Obama's policy towards Africa is horrendous, terrible, and I think more and more Africans are beginning to realize that, including his alleged homeland in Kenya. We need a policy of investment and in infrastructure and energy, railroads and water desalination so that people can start to live like human beings instead of being treated like animals, where their resources are grabbed out of land and sold elsewhere, and they are denied the right to develop them themselves. And this is a crime we have to reverse.
All right, Mr. Larry Freeman with the Africa Desk at the Executive Intelligence Review, joining us there on the line from Washington. Sir, thank you very much for your insight. Well, two ministers have been suspended in Kenya over corruption charges. Prime Minister Raila Odinga has ordered the ministers of agriculture and education to be suspended ahead of a graft probe. However, President Mwai Kibaki overruled the decree, saying the cabinet head is overstepping his authority. Ministers have urged a boycott of meetings until the row is over. Meanwhile, civil society groups staged a rally to demonstrate against the widening political rifts between Odinga and Kibaki. They called on some leaders to resign. The two former rivals' parties launched a coalition government in 2008 following post-election violence, which killed over 1,000 people. The Dubai police chief wants the head of Mossad arrested if it's proven that the agency was behind the assassination of a Hamas official in the Persian Gulf Emirate last month.
Certainly, this operation was done by Israel, which has assassination squads. We need to establish an international task force because these have now become international criminals. We say their arrest warrant will remain in force wherever they go. If it's proven that Mossad was involved, which is quite likely, I will be one of those asking for the head of Mossad to be put on the wanted list.
Dahi Khalfan Tamim says Interpol should issue a red notice for Mayor Dagan if Mossad is proven to be behind the murder of Mahmoud al-Mabhou. He says Dubai police can prove that the European passports used by the suspected assassins were genuine. Interpol has already issued arrest warrants for 11 suspects. Police are still searching for six more people believed to be part of the hit squad. The British, French, German, and Irish governments have summoned Israel's ambassadors in relation to the alleged use of fake passports by the assassins. Amid mounting diplomatic tension, Britain has urged Israel to fully cooperate in the investigation. Germany, meanwhile, demanded an explanation from Israel over the killing.
British and Irish government ministers have described it as an outrage that the assassins responsible for killing a Hamas official last month used stolen European passports, including six from the UK and three others from Ireland. The passports appear to have originally belonged to Israeli dual citizens.
Well, I'm very angry about it and I'm very concerned. It's a very, very serious issue. It puts the security of Irish citizens at risk. We do know that two of the three we've contacted are regular travellers, and indeed one would have been travelling this weekend, and that person could very well have been arrested because of the information that has emerged from Dubai.
I think this is a matter of investigation, and we've got to know the facts, we've got to know what happened, we've got to know what happened to British passports. It's as simple as that. It's an investigation that's got to take place before any conclusions are drawn.
Top officials from the two countries summoned their Israeli ambassadors this week, demanding an explanation, but were left none the wiser.
I was unable to add the additional information to a Sir Peter's request. And concerning your questions about the meeting itself, As you know, it is not the usual way to talk about what happens inside those meetings. I want to thank you and have a good day.
Critics say Israel's silence on the matter is in line with Mossad's modus operandi. Both representatives have neither denied nor confirmed Mossad's involvement in this assassination or the theft of these passports, but the evidence to the contrary is growing. The outrage both within parliament and outside of it is intensifying. One MP has called for the Israeli ambassador to be expelled from Britain, while others say tough questions must be asked of Israel.
If the British government does nothing about this, then they're condoning an act of international terrorism by a state with whom they keep telling us they are the best possible friends. And that will make a mockery of their claims to be a government against terrorism that's cracking down on all sorts of people, arresting people, surveilling people, because of a fear that they may be involved in terrorism. Here is a clear act of terrorism carried out clearly in the interests of the State of Israel.
The case is now being investigated by the UK's Serious Organised Crime Agency. What they find will determine whether a full-on diplomatic row is imminent between London and Tel Aviv. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
Well, the United Nations says Israeli settlements in occupied Palestinian territories are illegal. Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, B. Lynn Pascoe, says Tel Aviv's continued settlement activities are in violation of its international obligations. Pascoe adds that the UN remains deeply concerned at the current stalemate in the Middle East peace process. The UN political chief says he hopes both the Israelis and the Palestinian Authority will accept a proposal put forward to restart talks. The Palestinian Authority has conditioned the resumption of peace talks on a freeze in Israel's settlement expansion. Tel Aviv has ignored calls for the settlement work to stop. Well, the UN nuclear watchdog has confirmed Iran has started enriching uranium to the 20% level. In its latest report on Iran's nuclear energy program, the International Atomic Energy Agency said Iran began the higher uranium enrichment at the Natanz facility in the presence of agency inspectors.
The latest IAEA report on Iran once again confirms the non-diversion of declared nuclear material in the country. The 10-page document, the first by the new IAEA chief Yukiya Amano, also confirms that Iran has started uranium enrichment up to 20% level for the Tehran Medical Research Reactor under full IAEA monitoring. The reactor produces radioisotopes used for medical treatment at Iranian hospitals.
Even if the agency will continue 10 more years, the result would be the same. If the new director general comes again, that will report the same, because we are absolutely sure, and we have assured the whole world, international community, that all our activities are exclusively for peaceful purposes.
Still, the report calls on Iran to abide by the United Nations Security Council and IAEA resolutions to suspend uranium enrichment. It also calls on the country to engage with the agency on the issue of the alleged military aspect of its nuclear energy program. The agency wants immediate access to locations, equipment, documentation, and even individuals to reaffirm the exclusively peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear activities. The allegations that Iran has a military dimension of its nuclear program were raised in May 2008 by the former Bush administration, based on purported documents that have never been shown to Iran. And of course, Tehran insists such documents, if indeed exist, are forged.
Our advice is, in fact, to stop these political challenges and debates in the IAEA. Let the IAEA, with the new director general, to focus on their technical, purely technical professional work.
The latest IAEA report also calls on Iran to increase cooperation with the agency even more than before and to sign the additional protocol to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The IAEA report precedes the regular spring meeting of the Board of Governors, the decision-making body of the nuclear agency, starting on the 1st of March. Analysts are expecting new tussles during the five-day meeting.
Well, what I see and what I hear is that we have enormous behind-closed-door deals going on between the British, the Americans, the Germans, the French, and the main aim I've heard about is that the US is looking for sanctions to go alongside with the EU.
The tone of the latest IAEA report by Yukiya Amano undoubtedly differs from that of his predecessor, Mohamed Obarley. Still, it once again confirms what analysts call the most important fact, that all nuclear activities in Iran are and have always been under full IAEA supervision. As usual, the report will be the main topic of discussions when the IAEA Board of Governors meets on the 1st of March. And predictably, this report has plenty of ammunition, both for the supporters and the adversaries of Iran. Eva Manasieva, Press TV, from the IAEA headquarters in Vienna.
It is 3:45 in the morning here in Tehran. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Following a coup in Niger by a group named the Supreme Council for Restoration of Democracy, the country's constitution is suspended. Dubai says it is most likely that the recent assassination of a Hamas official was carried out by Israel's spy agency. The UN says Israeli settlements are illegal and its continued settlement activity is against Israel's obligations.